Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. It is so great to have you here. I'm Brent Henderson, and remember, we are the resistance. Wow, we are in 2026, and lots coming up. This week, later on, this will be the end of January, the 8th, 9th, will be the ATA show in Indianapolis. For those of you who love archery, I have worked that show for probably 23, 24 years in a row. I will not be working it this week, but I am going to go down. I will be going down, I think Friday is the day I'm headed down there. But this will be the first time since 2008 when I wasn't working the show for one of my sponsors. And what's going to be great is I actually get to walk around this time. You never get to do that when you're doing the shows. I'll be looking at new products. I get to sit with old friends. I get to sit with some new friends. And, you know, during my heart surgery this year, I had a man reach out to me who had been listening to my podcast for almost 2 years after the tragic loss of his own son. And it was heartbreaking when he told me the story. And he called me one day to let me know how much the podcast has meant to him through the past 2 years. And he was wanting to reach out to me after my open heart surgery to let me know if there was anything that, or ask if there's anything that he could do to help us. I mean, who does that kind of stuff that you've never met? I'll tell you who does. It's a godly man who shares a passion for God and for whitetails. And hopefully we'll be meeting up this Friday at the show. He's going to be there. He's going to be going to the Whitetail World Championship booth to show off this monster buck that I knew he had shot earlier this year. We were going back and forth. We'd never spoken until this fall. And we were going back and forth at least every other day. He'd be in a tree stand letting me know what the conditions were, what he was seeing. He had one really heartbreaking story where this one buck that he had wanted to take had an antler broken off late in the season. It was a monster. It was going to be pushing 200 inches. But he just found out on Friday that he has won the championship again this year. And like I said, I'm not surprised. I have only met maybe one or two men in my life that puts in more time on his property and hunting time on the stand. And that's what it takes to be successful. And he is a great example of perseverance and brotherhood in how he has shown up for me. In a couple of weeks after that, this will be coming up. I think I fly out the 18th or the 19th to work the SHOT Show in Las Vegas. And if you've ever been there, it is a wall-to-wall law enforcement, military, hunting industry kind of thing. And if I had to guess, probably 90% of the men walking those floors have tats. They got tattoos. These guys, they know how to fight. They know how to shoot. They're loyal. They're disciplined. And honestly, if it came down to it, I know that they would lay their life down for a brother without hesitation. And, you know, the whole thing with the tattoos, it's kind of funny because, you know, I've never gotten one. I've always kind of thought about it. But it would have to be something really, really meaningful. I thought, you know, my last book was The Roar Within. I thought about it doing one that says Roar, restoring our alpha role. You know, what does it look like to really be a godly man? Well, we'll see. It's not on the top of my agenda right now. But I know this week I'm going to be seeing, you know, tats everywhere. And I know that tats don't make a man. I get that. But I also kind of see it this way. For a lot of guys, it's a statement. It's almost like saying, this is my life story. I was created to be a man, and this is an extension of who I am. And I think a lot of times they stir up questions to get people to ask, hey, tell me about that one. You know what? I'm great with that. I think it's an awesome ministry tool. But that said, I know that there are a lot of men who get their identity from how they look, you know, from looking dangerous, looking tough, hardened, being resilient. And while those things can be impressive, honestly, it's what's under the tattoo that actually makes the man. Because we can talk the talk all day long, right? But if we can't walk the walk, then we're just all show and no substance. It's just noise. We're just like dust blowing in the wind. One of the things that stands out at the SHOT Show, it isn't just how men look, but I've paid attention to this. It's how they treat each other. There's respect. There's a really quiet, solid brotherhood. And it's not built on posturing. It's not built on performance. It's built on how a man has lived. You know, what he's carried, what he has sacrificed, you know, what he's shown up for when it really mattered. So it's not about medals. It's not about titles. It's about loyalty. It's about servanthood. It's about trust. And that got me thinking, what does it actually mean to be a man of God? Not the bumper sticker version, you know, not the Sunday only version, but the kind of man whose life really carries weight. The kind of man that other men respect, not because of how he looks, but maybe it's more about who he is when no one is watching. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. So I put together a list, I think it's like 10 different things that I was thinking about who men are, what makes us godly men. And some of these are in order, some of them are. I just kind of put them together in a list. But number one that I put down was his identity is rooted in Christ. Without a doubt, that is number one. Because a godly man knows who he is because he knows whose he is. His identity isn't built on success, because that can rise and fall, right? It's not built on failure. I'm not identified by my failures. It's not based on my income. That can fluctuate back and forth. It's not based on my reputation. Let me give an example here maybe. You know, when business is thriving, he doesn't need to become arrogant. When it slows down, he doesn't, you know, spiral emotionally out of control. His peace doesn't rise and fall with circumstances because his worth was settled at the cross, not at work. And the impact that has, the people around him, they feel safer. They feel more secure, and they feel drawn to him. I mean, you know what it's like when you're around a man who walks the walk, you're drawn to him. I remember Maximus in Gladiator, in the very beginning when he's going around to all of his men, encouraging them to get ready, that he's got to be right there on the front line with him. You know, strength and honor, he's saying to all of his guys, and they come out victorious, and there's a bond that happens because they were willing to sacrifice their own lives for what they believed in together. And there is a great scripture. It's out of 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. The second one that I put down was, you know, there's a humility without weakness. I think many times as guys, we think that humility is a sign of weakness. No, it's the opposite. I even think about the strongest men I know are the men that spend the time on their knees praying before God because they realize their need for him. Because humility, it's not thinking less of yourself. It's being secure enough to stop having to defend yourself. Let me see if I can find an example. It's like when a man and his wife are having a discussion and she brings up something really difficult, he resists the urge to explain it away. You know, he listens and says, you know, I hadn't seen it that way. Help me understand. He doesn't try to blame and defend. He gets into her world because he wants to use empathy to understand why she's seen it the way that she's seeing it. That's a sign of humility. And the impact that has, I mean, the walls come down. Conversations for her, for both of you, feel safer. And trust grows because the other person feels heard instead of corrected. Scripture on that, I put down Philippians 2, verse 3. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. The next one I came up with, the third one, was responsibility over blame. It's kind of close to the last one a little bit, but it's a little different. A godly man owns his part without minimizing or deflecting. You know, he stays on the conversation. He stays engaged. So instead of saying, I reacted that way because you did this, he says, I didn't handle that well. That's on me. You know, it's not my job to keep someone else's side of the street clean. It's my job to keep my side of the street clean. So what's the impact? Well, the conflict begins to de-escalate. Others become more willing to take responsibility because ownership sets the tone. And the scripture I put down for this is out of Galatians 6, verse 5. For each one should carry their own load. It's very specific. We are responsible for our actions, for our reactions. The next one I have is strength under control. Godly strength is disciplined strength. It's power that doesn't need to prove itself. I think this is what I was talking about, like with the tats, you know, a lot of guys want to get something really cool. I saw a really funny one time with this guy. It was a first-time deer hunter who had shot a buck, and he gets an image of a buck tattooed on his chest, still real red because it's real fresh. But he'd never done anything like that before, so it was brand new. But godly strength is discipline. It doesn't need to have to try to prove itself. Like, hey, look what I did. And the example is, let's see. Imagine, like, he gets disrespected at work or he gets cut off in traffic. And what does he choose? Instead of reaction, he chooses restraint. You know, strength under control is a powerful thing. And the impact that has is his presence brings a calm instead of chaos. People actually feel safer around him because now his emotions, they're not unpredictable. And the scripture I chose for this was out of Proverbs at 16:32, and it says, "Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city." That says a lot. The next one I put down is integrity in the private places. This is a big one. This is the one that who he is when no one is watching, it's matching who he is when everyone is watching. And the example, let's see. Maybe he could be on the road, he's tired and alone, but he doesn't drift into places that he's going to have to be ashamed to explain later. And I think a lot of us, we can relate. The enemy loves to play with boredom. He really does. Or if maybe you're angry with your spouse or something, he tries to get your mind to drift someplace to someone else who might treat you better. And I think that's why so many men get drawn into pornography. They're bored. They're just looking for something to make themselves feel better when they feel maybe disrespected. And they unfortunately choose the wrong path. And it's something that they would be ashamed to explain to somebody else. But here's the thing, guys. We still have to look at ourselves in the mirror every single day. Do I want to have to kind of side-eye myself in the mirror? Or can I look at myself straight up and say, you know what? I conquered that today. And what kind of an impact does that have? The impact, trust deepens at home. You know, his wife and kids don't have to wonder, you know, who he really is when he's not around. And the scripture I chose for this one is Luke 16:10. It says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. And whoever is dishonest with little will also be dishonest with much." Number six that I put down is faithfulness in the ordinary. Godly manhood, it's not built on big moments. I think many of us, like when I'm speaking at game dinners, everyone's wanting to show you their biggest buck. You know, my buddy Kyle, who's just won this Whitetail World Championship, he's a very humble man. I think he's just there because he's excited about the industry. He's excited about other hunters. He loves to pour into people's lives. He's not there to be braggadocious. Godly manhood isn't built on those big moments. It's forged in daily faithfulness. It's showing up, even when no one else knows you have. An example is maybe a man who keeps his word no matter what. You know, he shows up for his kids even when he's exhausted. I'll be honest with you today, it was hard to push into this podcast. You probably hear my lips smacking a little bit. It's because I'm literally sitting here sucking on cough drops. I got a really bad cold. But rather than, you know, having the man cold where I just kind of complain, I got to suck it up. I needed to get this done because this was going to be a powerful podcast as far as us really looking and saying, what kind of a man do I want to be? Not just for 2026, but what kind of a man do I want to be? What do I want others, my family, everyone around me to know about me? How can I be that light in dark places? That man keeps his word. He shows up his kids, like I said, even when he's exhausted, he's not feeling well. You know, when no one is applauding, but he does it anyway. And what does that impact have? Stability grows. You know, his consistency, what does it create? It creates security. He is going to come through no matter what. And security, it builds trust over time. And the scripture I picked for this was Colossians 3:23. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters." Number seven I put down is courage to do the right thing. A godly man chooses obedience even when it costs him comfort or approval. You know, the example would be he turns down a deal that would make more money, but it would compromise his values. I've got a really good friend who walked away from a job because there was something that was going on that was compromising his values. And there was a big price for this. You know, he's been off work for several years after making that decision. He's not off work, but he's not doing the same job that he was doing before that might have been the coolest job or making him the most money. But the reason he stepped away was because there was something that was going on that he knew was not all right, and it was going to compromise his values. I have a lot of respect for him. You know, he tells the truth when silence would have been much easier. So what's the impact? His life quietly gives permission for honesty. So the scripture I've got for this is Acts 5:29. And this is where you've got Peter and the apostles. And Peter and the apostles reply, you know, we must obey God rather than human beings. It is so important that we understand who we are called to obey first. And we can only do that when we know where our one true identity comes from and we live out of that place. Number eight I've got is servant leadership. The man, he leads by example, not from control. So many guys try to be that the big man in the room trying to control everyone. This man, his strength is used to serve. It's not used to dominate. You know, an example might be at home, leadership looks like initiating hard conversations, being the first one to apologize, you know, carrying the emotional weight. If you find yourself getting into an argument with someone, maybe your spouse, over and over again, I want to encourage you with something. Someone has to go first. Be that person willing to go first, to take responsibility. That goes a long way. You know, the impact of this is the man's family feels protected. They don't feel managed. How many guys do you know that micromanage everything? And women do it too. But the thing is, I don't need to have to respond in an unhealthy way. And the respect grows because now leadership feels loving. It doesn't feel controlling. I was speaking with a man maybe about 6-7 months ago, and he was concerned because he knows that his employees will obey him, but they don't necessarily love him. Because he's a man who doesn't give many words of encouragement. It's more like, you better do this or you're gone. And he doesn't want to be that man. And that takes, you know, looking in the mirror at something like that, that takes a lot to be able to do something like that. That's walking the walk, saying, I don't want to be that man anymore. And so starting today, I'm making a difference. The scripture that I pulled for this is Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Number nine I've got is teachability and repentance. A godly man, what does he do? He stays teachable. He's never finished growing. That's tough. You know, the older you get, the more wisdom you get, the more experience you have, you begin to somehow believe, been there, done it. This isn't my first rodeo. But a godly man stays teachable because even though the wisdom we might have from an earthly level, God's wisdom is far beyond anything we can ever dream or imagine. So what happens when a man stays teachable and repentant? You know, when he's confronted by a friend or maybe a mentor or coach in his life, he doesn't shut down or get defensive. He'll reflect on the situation. He'll take it and pray about it, not respond quickly, so that he can course correct whatever has been going on. And the impact that that has is the relationships that he's in, they stay healthy. People, they begin to feel really free about speaking honestly because they know that whatever they speak isn't going to go punished. So they can speak truth freely. And the scripture on this one I have is Proverbs 12:1, that whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Number 10, he values God's voice more than the approval of people. And this isn't about fear. This is about trust. He trusts God enough to obey him even when others don't understand. The example, let's see. Let's say he makes a decision that others are questioning or they've misunderstood it. But he has peace because he knows he's aligned with God and he's not needing to chase after their approval. Man, when you have a man like that who's not trying to chase after everybody else's approval and he can sit back and explain himself, you know, that clarity, what does it do? It steadies others. You know, even those who disagree, that what they do, they respect the conviction and consistency of his walk. Even if the man is wrong, when he can explain it well, with confidence and saying, hey, I am looking for your input, but I don't need your approval, There's a lot of respect that comes from that. The scripture that I pick for this is Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So here's those 10, kind of like with some little bullet points. His identity is rooted in Christ. He has got humility without weakness. He takes responsibility over blame, strength under control, integrity in the private places. He's got faithfulness in the ordinary. He's got the courage to do the right thing. He is a servant leader. He is teachable and repentant. And he values God's voice more than the approval of people. Men, when we set the example, whether we realize it or not, this generation is watching us. You know, our sons are watching how we handle pressure. Our daughters are watching how we treat their mother. Other men are watching just how we respond when life gets hard. And the truth is, they don't just need inspiration, they need discipleship. That's all a part of it. There's an old saying that rings, unfortunately, painfully true. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. You know, right now we are living in the wake of that cycle. And the only way that it changes is if men decide to step back into who God created them to be. And the only way they can do that is by understanding and embracing and living out of their one true identity in Christ. What that means is the moment that you truly believed, God put his promised Holy Spirit in your spirit, the core, the center of who you really are. And you begin to learn how to live out of that place. Decisions now are grounded and rooted and made from Christ in you, from allowing the Holy Spirit to direct everything you do. You see, when God created man, he meant something. God wasn't guessing. He wasn't experimenting. He designed men with incredible strength. He designed us to be responsible, to have courage, and he gave us a purpose. And that's not to dominate, but it's made to protect. It's not made to withdraw, but it's made to lead. You know, not to live for ourselves, but to pour ourselves out for others. That's what Jesus did. Think about the men we admire, our heroes. They aren't remembered because life was easy. They're remembered because they stood when it was hard. They stayed when it would have been easier to just walk away. They told the truth. They showed courage. They carried responsibility. They sacrificed for something bigger than themselves. That is what godly manhood looks like. I was speaking for an event. I think I've shared this story, but it was one of my earlier podcasts, probably within the first 10 weeks of starting this. This is now, I think this is episode 130. But I was speaking in Augusta, Georgia for a game dinner, two-night game dinner. And this man came, huge guy. I mean, just garden hoses for veins running down his arms. And he came back to the table at the end of the event, and the men kind of parted because he was like this look on his face. He was coming to me, and I'm like, what did I say to tick this guy off? And as he looked up at me, I could see there was a tear running down his face. And his little boy came running over, who was probably maybe eight, and throws his arms around his dad. And he looks at me and he said, "Tonight, you said that who a man really is will never have anything to do with how big he is, how tough he is, how many missions, you know, he's completed. But does he have the God of the universe in him?" He said, "I've been a Navy SEAL for 13 years. He said, "Tonight, I gave my life to Christ. Both my little boy and I did. We went out to our pickup truck after the event, and my little boy was sitting there going, "Daddy, can we receive Christ?" And the father was so moved by what we had been talking about earlier, and his little boy seeing the difference, that he wanted to step up and be the man that he knew God was calling him to be. And then he opens up his fist, and inside of it, he had his Navy SEAL trident. And if you know what that is, you know how much that would mean to him. He said, "I want you to give this to your son in a teachable moment." Because back then, my son wanted to be a Navy SEAL. He said, "You give this to him, and if he doesn't make it into the SEALs, you let him know, whether he's swabbing a deck of a carrier or whatever, that his worth and value will never, ever come from how many medals he has, how big or how tough he is, or how many missions he's completed. It comes from the God of the universe being in him." The world doesn't need fewer men like him. We need more. We need men who really know and walk out who they are in Christ. Men who live with integrity when no one else is watching. You know, men who value God's voice more than the approval of other people. This generation, we don't need more perfect men. There is no such thing. We need men who are present. We need men who are faithful. We need men who are willing to be discipled. Now listen, and then go disciple others. That's a big piece of what's missing right now. That's why I've written this new book, The Big Five Man Killers, which is only weeks away from coming out. So guys, let's step back into the fight and let's model it. Let's not just talk the talk. Let's walk the walk. Let's live it. Because when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he's no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous, dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed. We'll see you next time.